This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Hey, this is Annie.
And Samantha.
And welcome to Stuff I Never Told You, a production of iHeartRadio. So today is December 16th, 2020, and it is potentially our last day of recording for 2020.
Yay!
I just want to put that out there, because we are recording this episode about 2021.
A little early.
So who knows what's going to happen between now and then. How are you feeling right now going into 2021, Samantha?
Honestly, it's kind of one of those things like, are we going to make it? If we can just make it, but are we going to make it? It's kind of that type of feeling, as well as the fact that I'm like, I just need to get past the holidays. I just got to get past the family get together, which I'm really dreading and really don't want to do. I think I might be having dreams about it. I did have a dream about it, actually, because of the dread. So I can't get past this point. And it seems so far away, which is also misleading to me because I'm like, oh, do I have all my presents?
Yeah. Oh, I saw about like the huge backup in the shipping of presents. I feel kind of the same way. It feels hard to believe. And it like feels forever away. Fast approaching at the same time, which is kind of how this whole year, the vibe of this whole year has been. But we did want to do a shy hello to 2021.
A soft hello.
A soft hello. Like you're approaching a scared animal, you know, your hands are raised. Okay. And when we... I know I bring this up all the time, but when we did our Hello 2020 episode, that episode is one kind of like a sad and hilarious relic because of how the things actually turned out. But two, it was pretty researched. This one isn't going to be so researched, both because of timing, but I am not making this up, listeners. I know it sounds like a cop-out. We're not the only ones who don't want to predict what's going to happen in 2021.
Right.
There is not a lot of people out there. Most people are like, the housing market might do something.
Right. There's nothing, like, I mean, the constant theme of this year is, was that on your bingo card? And the majority of the answers were no. So it's not even worth it because it feels like a waste of time to actually research and be like, this is what's going to happen this year because it's primarily wrong. The one thing we did, well, no, I guess we really didn't know who was going to be the actual candidate for presidency at that point. I remember what I was hoping for. I really didn't think it was going to be Biden. I'm not going to lie. I think a lot of people did, and I didn't. And then here we are, and I'm like, okay, well, this makes sense. But at the same time, what? Like, there's a lot of different things and things that we predicted. We knew whatever was going to happen, it was going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. Did we know it was going to be this difficult? Did we know that there was going to be five counts that we were going to the Supreme Court, that we were going to constantly go to the state Supreme Court, that we were going to have what I thought were somewhat sensible politicians being as ridiculous as they have been to allow this kind of banter and nonsensical lawsuits and waste of time? No. Like, we knew it was going to be bad, but we didn't know it was going to be this bad.
Yeah, and I remember that episode feels like a haze, but remember that we talked at the end about will there be a female president in our lifetime? And I think we did talk about vice president, and we thought like that was a possibility. So, you know, and we did want to talk about some of our predictions, but they're going to be very silly and personal because, again, we got so screwed over.
Yeah, we were so wrong.
In 2020. And I just feel like we need there's been so much. I mean, there's been the good news about the vaccine and, you know, finally the Electoral College has come in. But there's still so much uncertainty. And I feel like, you know, let's just take a lighter approach.
Right. Fair.
So I did want to ask at the start, speaking of the vaccine, when do you think you're going to get it? Because I feel like I'm going to be at the bottom of the barrel, which puts me in June.
Right. Well, it seems America is so important, though we are the ones that have been the most relaxed and seem to take the disease a little less seriously than the rest of the world, which means, of course, we're going to be first on the list. There was a map shown of who was going to be given first and kind of like the ratio. And the U.S. and parts of Europe and Canada were at the top of the list, which is absurd to me. Mm-hmm. But that's a whole other conversation. And if you haven't heard, the maskless pandemic-denying officials at the White House is already scheduled to be first in line for this vaccine, which f***s me off to no end. I cannot. Like, I am the gif from Clue, where this Miss White with flames and flames, just enraging flames. Like, that is the gif that I am right now. But because of all of that, I think we as the citizens will be at the bottom of the list in the U.S. Not bottom. I say lower middle bottom because we are still considered middle class, and you and I are in the podcasting industry with a big corporation, and I think that's going to push us up as well. Because I remember when we were gone, when we were all being sent home and being quarantined, the first thing they told us is, we can get you to a doctor. We can get you access to a doctor. And I think that's going to be us as well. And I say this personally, and it seems unjust in so many ways.
Yeah.
But because of that, I think it's going to be a little earlier than that. I don't think it's going to be before maybe April at earliest, May-ish, would be offered to us. But like I said, for those who are marginalized, who are disenfranchised in any way, those who don't have health care, those who are minimum wage workers, that who are seen as essentials, will not get it. We have seen that a lot of the medical individuals have gotten it, but I feel like that's also a show of trying to show that these vaccines are not as big of a risk as people are trying to make it out to be, as the anti-vaxxers are making it out to be.
Yeah.
And the whole conspiracy theory, including the fact that there's this very right-leaning Trump supporter doctors who come to the CDC to stand in front of it and say they're protesting the giving out of vaccines and saying that it's being forced on people, which is not true.
It's
such a weird rhetoric when we're also talking about the fact that it's not going to be available to a lot of people who actually need it. So I'm like, what is happening here? So I think the biggest debate is whether or not Biden, as he has promised, President-elect Biden, that it will be available to everyone, if that's actually going to be the case. Because we are already having the conversation of, well, this is falling in line with why healthcare should be available to all, but whatever.
But whatever. By the way, Happy New Year's, everybody. We didn't even say that. So coming out, we said we were going to get goofy, but here we are.
Sorry, I have a lot of thoughts on this stupid vaccine. I'm getting angry about it.
No, absolutely. It will be interesting to see how this sort of anti-vaccine conversation plays out and how long and how strong it stays. Because it's always been a part of our society, right? But
right
now it's really
right
at the forefront of a lot of people's minds. Well, switching gears really hard.
Yes.
Like,
I don't know what that noise was.
Yeah, you're just like a fart
sound. I don't know. That's how I do it, I guess.
That's how your car sounds. I mean, that definitely changes the course of a conversation sometimes. When do you think you're going to get a haircut? Because the last time I got my haircut, I think was in October of 2019. I'm definitely not going to get it until I've got a vaccine, probably. And as I've said recently, my hair, this is the longest it's ever been, which I kind of like because I've been able to do things with it I've never been able to do, like braid it. And I, you know, it's also annoying because it is very long and I'm not used to it, but I'm trying to take the positives and the negatives and balance them out.
Yeah, I'd actually gotten my haircut right before we went to LA, because I was like, I gotta look good because I've been keeping the shorter haircut. But my hair grows pretty freaking fast. And right now I'm looking real 80s Connie Chung-ish, without the bangs. So I got the Asian mom look going on. And it needs a trim, but yeah, I'm not going anywhere. And until a vaccine happens, I probably won't go anywhere because I think I said this previously on the Monday Mini. I'm not taking showers like that. Like, I definitely keep myself clean, but not washing the hair. I have noticed, though, I'm starting to get concerned that I'm losing a lot of hair. And I used to have really thick hair, and it's not like too noticeable, but it's noticeable enough that I'm getting worried that the stress has affected my hair. So I'm like, oh no. Also, I'm turning really gray, but I'm not fighting that at all.
Well, speaking of not fighting that, what do you think real clothes are coming back? Because when did I put on real clothes last? I've put on more costumes, I think, than real clothes.
That makes sense.
Yeah, that does really make sense, actually. Yeah. But now that I think about it, I think that's the true statement. For various work reasons, mostly, but not always. And it's one of the things where I've actually really enjoyed it, especially because I'm not going anywhere, so what does it matter? And people have called me out before where they're like, we hung out virtually 2 nights ago and you were wearing the same thing. I was like, uh-huh. What do you want from me? There is some days I do feel like, oh, wow, like to wear clothes and feel that cute feeling again.
Right.
Like put together. I do miss that occasionally, but that's not enough to put on real clothes.
Oh, yeah.
Yet.
No, that's my thought is I think people want to dress up because they miss it. But now that the shame or the whole like need to impress people kind of seems less important.
Yeah.
I mean, I have that giant comfy / wearable comforter, which makes me look like a tent. Like, it's fine. Like, I cannot express how giant and thick this is. And I wore it all the way to the streets, taking my trash out with my neighbors seeing me. I no longer care what they think. And again, I used to be the one to always put on makeup because I'm definitely Southern at heart with my mom teaching me, don't go out without your makeup, and getting a bit fancy. But now with a mask, I'm like, why? And I don't think I'm going to stop wearing a mask for a while because, I mean, a lot of the Asian countries have been wearing it for a while now. And it doesn't, like, we have an assortment now. I now have, like, a pile of masks. And I feel like, why not be
Me
safe?
Too.
I'm not going to worry about it. I don't want to breathe in what they're breathing out. So with that, I'm like, I don't need makeup. But I do miss wearing my red lipstick. I really liked that red lipstick, you know, so that I didn't look quite dead.
Right.
And pale. But I'm good. I think because also we'll probably keep working from home that it's like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Again, my nerd heart showing through. I think the last times I've worn makeup have been for costumes or D&D. I do themed outfits to, like, make them nervous because I'm terrible. Terrible dungeon master. So I'll wear makeup to accentuate whatever vibe I'm trying to send off. Do you think there's going to be, like, pandemic fashion after this? Like, speaking of I have a lot of masks, too. For different outfits. Right. And maybe your sleeping bag tent is going to become a fashion statement.
I will take it with me where I can. I will say that. You know what? I think, well, think about the level. I'm interested to see the amount of sales that pajama companies or companies with leisure wear has made, because the many a tweets that I saw on people asking for recommendations to get comfy pants was like skyrocketing. Like, I wondered how much they actually made off of that. My cozy socks, sweaters, you know, especially as it gets colder, you know, you want all of those things. I think that is the fashion that we're going to lean into. Like, we've already been leaning into things like jeggings and leggings and such, which was about comfort with a little style. I think absolutely everything's going to be a little more stretchy.
Well, I agree with you, but I also think there's going to be, I think two things are going to happen. There's going to be that, and then there's going to be like the hard bounce of like, gyms are come back and lose all your quarantine weight. And like,
I might fall for that.
I mean, I guarantee you it's going to be a big push.
Yeah.
That we'll see once we can start going out again. So that will be interesting. It would be especially kind of a funny mix of if it was both of those things of like wearing these really cute clothes and then wearing these like really comfortable, essentially pajamas. And then, you know, when they do those, like, fashion in the 50s, people will know what 2020, they'll be like, 2020, sleeping bag, something else that I think that we're going to keep an eye on is this home movie release of, like, what they're doing with HBO Max and what Disney Plus has done. I think that's here to stay, and that has a lot of implications for the entertainment industry and especially theaters. I think online doctor's visits and online things in general are here to stay. Like, those were around before, but like as a thing people do on a much higher level.
I mean, didn't Loeffler dump a bunch of stocks and buy a lot of online like options because she knew and her husband knew that was going to skyrocket, and it has. Yeah. And when I say Loeffler, is the woman who's running for Senate in Georgia. Mm-hmm. Who should be implicated for, you know, insider trading, but whatever. I definitely agree. The online thing, it's not going away, which is unfortunate for those who can't have access, who don't have access. I mean, it wasn't even a big, huge deal at the beginning where the internet companies were shutting down or was getting overloaded and could not provide because they did not have the wattage, essentially, to provide for everyone. That was a whole thing. And even now, you and I have talked about how we went through a whole half a week of missing work because our internet went down and our power went down and how problematic that was. So I think, we're definitely leaning into that. And I don't think it's going to go away because we've seen that if it is accessible, it's convenient. And we're all about that convenience, if nothing else. Yeah. And honestly, the online medical thing between not having to go into a doctor's office, which makes me feel like, makes me nervous anyway, going into a doctor's office. But then also having online therapy where I can just sit on my couch, put on my, have my pajamas on and have my dog next to me. I mean, that's the best way to go through some kind of traumatic conversations, right?
Yeah. I always have my pillow pet, my bee.
Ruby.
Yeah. And I have, like, when I was searching for what's going to happen in 2021 and 2021 predictions, I did read a lot of pieces about how there's going to be, like, a lot of people were calling delayed gratification in the summer, and how it's going to be wild, like Woodstock everywhere, and everybody's going to be throwing these huge outdoor events and people everywhere. And I don't know. I don't know about that. I feel like I'm definitely going to be much more cautious than, oh, I've got the vaccine, I can go outside. All right, surround me with crowds.
Right. I don't know. I think you got to look at it now. There's a lot of people who haven't even stopped.
That is a true statement.
Are having to get fined or having to be told to stop this or having to be regulated because they don't want to stop and they don't truly believe it. I mean, look at the weddings. Even the smaller scale one are still like 20 to 30 people. And that's small in comparison to, but too many. And people are still getting sick, and it's not stopping them. It's not stopping anybody from doing it. I think people are definitely going to push those boundaries. It doesn't even matter at the very smallest hint, because the minute Kemp said that we were not allowed to have the crowd, you know, control. People lost their mind and left and did their things. You know, like, it was so crowded. Yeah. The minute it was lifted from Atlanta, the traffic went from zero to, like, so bad. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I feel like, I think they're right. I think people are going to just lose it. And also, you got businesses who are trying to capitalize on this. So they're already looking to how they're going to make that big money. So, and if that's going to be a wild party where they spend more money, mm-hmm. then hell yeah, they're going to do it. But and you got to also think about the people who are trying to catch up with all of their friends who they probably already lost in touch with, or the big group of hang that they miss. You know, I do think, though, people are going to touch each other less unless they're drunk. Mm-hmm. You know, alcohol involved is a whole other conversation. Like, my reaction to seeing movies and TV shows from the past where people are touching or hugging make me panic. So I'm like, I think that's going to fall away to the wayside. The hugging is going to be a little less. The handshakes are going to be a little less. So I think that's going to be a new change.
Yeah. I definitely had an outright panic attack at my Thanksgiving, which was socially distant, but I still was like, I have not seen this many people and I'm scared right now.
Right.
So yeah, that's seeing how that goes. I'm going to stick by the 5G prediction, even though I don't really know what it means, nor do I particularly care. But people said it in 2020, and I'm saying it in 2021. And on a more serious note, a lot of pieces I read said that there will be lasting economic fallout from the pandemic, which makes sense, unfortunately, and that it will probably change our offices and cities. Like, a lot of people are talking about the 15-minute city, which is these, like, small outdoor pop-up things, essentially, of, you know, how restaurants can have that outdoor seating.
Right.
So that's something that people are predicting or talking about.
Yeah, we've definitely seen more and more reports of how bad it has been, and the backtracking to talk about what is needed in offices and whether or not that's essential, who's essential, what's essential, and being able to see that maybe some of the positions that they created are not necessary anymore, especially if people are doing remote things, have access remotely to whether it's IT help or whatever, whatnot. I mean, we've definitely had many people who've been staples that are gone because it no longer meets the requirements of what is needed today, which was really sad in itself. And, like, that's the same thing with like restaurant industries and how many people they've laid off because they don't need them. There's not as much business happening. Yeah. Retail stuff, they are needed, but who's needed and who's getting this job? So it's kind of like the constant fallout of, okay, we're having to do the minimum of everything to survive. So that means a loss of these people, these jobs. So definitely a huge thing. And then, you know what? I'm not surprised at the 5G thing hasn't grown as giant as we thought, because in the world and in the year of conspiracy theories, it kind of went to the bottom. Like, the level to me is hilarious, where we thought it was going to be a big thing, not only in accessibility, but in conversation between QAnon's, like, child rape stuff, child trafficking stuff, the whole election fraud stuff. All of those have definitely just toppled the 5G conspiracy.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to come back for sure, because people are going to have this conversation. People still mad at Bill Gates and said it's his fault for
tripping us with the vaccine. Yeah, that's something we've seen in 2020, like, with women and conspiracies and all that. And that's a continuing conversation we're going to have. But speaking of, we did want to talk about some of the fallout of what happened in 2020 to women in particular and what we're going to do about it. But first, we're going to pause for a quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Fluffy bread, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, zero sugar, and seriously great taste. Plus, more of the dietary fiber and protein you want with no compromise. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So we've spoken throughout the year about women taking the brunt of this pandemic in a lot of ways, ways that are absolutely going to reverberate through 2021 and even after that. Many women have left the workplace to care for kids. They've missed out on promotions, they've been unable to submit or publish academic papers, things like that, things that do also disproportionately impact women of color. Predictions say the pandemic will put women back 5 years in terms of equality. I've read things that are much longer than that. Mm-hmm. From February to October in the U.S., 2.2 million women have left the workforce.
Right.
Which is substantial.
Such huge numbers. And I've seen reports that talk about how this is putting women back to the 50s era style of living, between the whole, like, taking care of the family, staying at home moms, which there's nothing wrong with that, but it's definitely taking away the choice of women who have had careers and who have had substantial parts in businesses and sciences and medicine. Like, these things, but having this conflict of having to choose between family and work and career and lifestyle. And it's interesting to see, as well as we talked about, the pay equality has now been decimated. Like, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Where we were kind of coming in and closing in, it's gone away now, because it's almost like people are having to settle for what they can get.
Yeah. And it's so, I mean, it's upsetting in a lot of ways, but it's, we all lose with this, right?
Right. Like, right.
The economy loses out. Science loses out. Like, we could, in the innovations these women who are now out of the workforce could be making, we all lose.
Right. But it always starts at the bottom. The people who lose are the ones that has the least amount to lose. Like, it's an amazing concept that instead of going from the top where they can afford to not have it, they go from the bottom and be like taken away from what they can't already live off of. And that's that conversation that we need to have again about why this is such an abuse of power and such a neglect in humanity. Mm-hmm. That's my own blurb. But yeah, less than 1/3 of the companies have made changes in terms of their employee evaluations to take account the stress of the pandemic, which is a good news. At least we get some leeway in being like, yeah, we're really stressed out. Let's give them a little time.
Unfortunately, it's only less than 1/3.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, to take into account, we've read about, you know, women who do have the children in the background on the Zoom calls and feeling like less because of that, or feeling like they're not professional. But at the same time, you've got kids and you're homeschooling them and you're working and like...
This little phenomenon of them having a dress code for kids at home has been interesting too.
Yeah. I haven't heard much about that, but...
I've seen several reports of mandating dress code and kids being suspended with seeing things at their homes. Like, there's been, like, conversations how is this even happening? But a youth, I think there was a lighter or something in the background, and he got suspended from school for having that.
Wow.
And you're like, huh? Like, it just kind of became a whole thing. And then children being told that they cannot be present unless they're wearing fully clothed, whatever. And you're like,
oh, wow.
I can understand, like, they can't be naked. But what's the problem with them wearing pajamas?
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. I mean, that makes me think about, I always look around in my background to make sure there's nothing.
Oh.
I don't know.
I think I told the story about the fact that I was on several professional Zoom calls and I had changed my name. So on Zoom, it shows your name. And I changed it for a game that we had played and it was inappropriate. And I couldn't figure out what was happening and realized after like five phone calls of this inappropriate name that was supposed to be an inside joke. And I'm like, well, that was my boss that I was just talking to. Awesome. Like having to retract and go back into changing and hope nobody noticed.
Oh, I remember that. I remember that fiasco. Well, we've also talked about all the unplanned pregnancies that will result from the pandemic and have already resulted. The cuts we've seen on reproductive health that have in part led to that. On the other side of that, women have also had to postpone dating and IVF treatments, and this after potentially years of waiting due to closures of places that provide those treatments or financial reasons because maybe you've lost your job or took a pay cut or whatever. And this is incredibly painful, and many women report grieving the, quote, loss of an imagined future and feeling that 2020 is a, quote, lost year.
Right. I mean, the back and forth is a phenomenal conversation in itself between trying to get pregnant and the unexpected pregnancies. It's really interesting. And I wonder, do we have a term for this generation yet? You know, like baby boomers? What is this generation?
Isn't it called, I thought it was called the COVID boom, but.
Is it COVID boom? I was going to say, is it quarantine babies?
Quarantine baby. I've also seen a lot of back and forth about whether or not that's actually happening. I've read things that say it absolutely is, and then I've read things that say, no, it's not. That's over exaggerated. So we'll have to keep an eye on that too.
I was going to say, the many, now several people have had babies during quarantine. So that can't be right. Like that math doesn't add up. But I've had several friends announce their pregnancies recently, and I'm like, there's those numbers. So it's interesting.
In your anecdotal world.
Look, though, it's for a while. And I will say, I think everybody experiences in their friendship groups where it's like a lull and then a boom and then a lull. And you're like, what is this? And that's the same thing with marriages, too, like weddings and such. You're like, what is happening? But it's happening with my world with the babies, just so you know.
I see.
And apparently, you have actually talked about this before. Plastic surgery has gone up because people are seeing their faces on video calls. And sexual harassment now includes yelling at women to take their masks off. Thanks, SNL, for that stupid song. No, and I definitely can understand the feeling to do so. Like I said, I don't know if it was in this episode or a different recording, I changed the light bulbs in my dining room because it was too dark and I was getting sleepy and I needed something brighter. But it's so harsh and so bright that when I opened up our video call, I was not happy. And so my new ritual is I open the damn video chats. I have to give myself a pep talk and continue on and just focus on your face alone because I'm like, no, I don't like this.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because I often will gasp audibly when I see my face. But then I'm like, I could have done something about it, but I didn't. So whatever. And this will be interesting too, because I know like there was that big concern maybe 2 or 3 years ago about especially young girls getting plastic surgery to match like the Snapchat filters. I believe it was Snapchat in particular. Yeah. It might have been Instagram, but like the filters and going in and saying, I want to, using their face essentially with a filter on it saying, I want to look like that. And now that we are all seeing ourselves through these video chats a lot and being confronted is such an aggressive word, but you know, like we're seeing ourselves that way. And I was both surprised and not surprised when I read this, because to me, like I would never, unless I have an emergency, I'm not going to the doctor's office right now. I'm just not. And there are things I'm like, I really should get that checked out.
Right.
But I'm waiting until pandemic is over. So that was another thing we'll keep an eye on and see how the numbers shake out after this when it comes to plastic surgeries. And then also like the sexual harassment with a mask thing. A lot of the articles I read were, it was annoying because it was women working in like a restaurant or something who were following like the safety protocols of their restaurant, but also like we should all be doing this and getting yelled at by older men who think it's like a conspiracy, like take your mask off, honey.
Right.
Which is very, 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 very frustrating and dangerous.
Right. The whole like overall, I don't know if you remember this episode, this incident in which there was a they were at Froyo, getting Froyo, because obviously you need that during a pandemic. a woman had her mask on, but then she turned, like, she started spewing something about how you don't need it, you don't need it. Took her mask off, spit on the child who the woman with that she was arguing with the mother. They were both in line and walked away. Like, that kind of level was like, what the is wrong with you? Like, it's just such a whole hostile thing. And we see almost on a weekly, if not a daily basis, people who specifically go into troll stores and scream at them about not needing a mask and how it's a conspiracy. And I still cannot believe this is what, this is the hill you want to die on. Of all the things that you could be upset at, wearing a mask, which is not that big of a deal.
No.
Like, I just, like, that's to me, like, wow, that's the epitome of privilege. That's what you're so upset about. Go home. Stay at home.
Stay at home.
Stay home forever.
Also, you've probably seen, listeners, and I know we've talked about them before, the studies of how stress of the pandemic is taking years off people's lives. And some people say we're approaching a mental health crisis, especially when it comes to essential workers, especially when you're talking about medical staff, the majority of whom are women. And then we did minis on PTSD during this pandemic, eating disorders, and then also domestic violence and the heightened rates of domestic violence against women while during lockdown, women and girls. And those are also things we're going to have to deal with.
A big conversation also has been about the child bride situation, which has increased. At one point, there was a lot of conversation and actually, you know, getting out there and being known and being made aware of this being a situation and how it needs to disappear. But because of the pandemic, it has actually increased in such numbers that I can't even, like, discuss, because it has gone up so high in order to try to have survival for not only those young brides, young girls, but for the family as well, because the dowry whole situation, as well as, like, the whole food poverty situation as well is a whole thing, and it's how it's affecting women specifically and young girls specifically. It's going to be interesting how to unravel and undo this damage.
Yeah, and when we were saying, like, going back, some publications say, you know, this is putting women 5 years back. In some places, it's much further than that.
Right.
Like, strides, especially in, you know, young girls' education or things like that, have just really, really upsettingly fallen further and further back. All these strides and all this progress was made and then kind of disappeared. A lot of women in the United States were elected in 2020, though, so we will start to see some of their policies go into place.
Right, I'm really excited. Like, Cori Bush is already making headway, and I love seeing that. But it's been really interesting, too, to see the women who have come out on such deep ties and support for the far right and men's right movements. Like, it's always been there. We know this. But the level that they are coming out as leadership positions in that world is such an irony that I just don't get it. Like, I'm in, like, I just sit there and stare, like, how does this make sense? It's not surprising. It's not surprising, but it's definitely severely disappointing. As we know, actually, there are some lawmakers coming through Georgia. Loeffler, specifically, has come all the way into it, which is hilarious because, she's not from Georgia, but she has jumped on this QAnon bandwagon because she saw one success in one area in the state, which is really disappointing for us all, as well as the fact that it's being embraced in a lot of different areas. Now, not a lot. There's about probably 4 or 5 candidates that we've seen that's actually won and making headway, but it's so disappointing that it's even a conversation today.
Well, there have been, you know, this is a lot of doom and gloom, but there have been some successes for women in 2020. And we're hoping to see that continued and to see companies provide options for flexible work schedules, which, as we've discussed in another episode, have helped women, especially women who have families who are a caretaker in one way or another. Flexible work schedules and also flexible like remote work options.
Right. It kind of also gave them, and we talked about this specifically with the Monday Mini, how it kind of gave them a justification of like, see, we told you this would be fine.
Yeah, we can do it. Here's your test case.
And yeah, it's been a big year for women music-wise. In May, four black women held the top two spots on the Billboard 100. The song Say So became the first song by two female rappers to top the charts. We know that Megan Thee Stallion has done some big things this year. We know that Cardi B has done some big things this year. Taylor Swift keeps doing her big things mm-hmm. this year. And it's about damn time. But of course, there's still so much scrutiny and criticism. And then the whole pitting women against women, it still definitely exists. Yeah. But it does seem hopeful that at least in the artistry world, people are acknowledging that women are queens of this industry and should be recognized.
Yeah. Yeah. And I believe like right before I came in, I saw an article that there were also four women with rock albums, like top rock albums, which mm-hmm. was a big stride. So it seems like in music, 2020 was a pretty big year.
I mean,
we've
got some comebacks, Dolly Parton, Mariah Carey, Dionne yeah. Warwick. I mean, come on, ladies. Yes. Yeah.
Come on. So there's a lot of things we're going to continue to keep an eye on. And, you know, there were certainly other things that happened in 2020. A lot of people are calling 2020 the year of the woman in the United States when it comes to elections. I feel like that gets brought up a lot and it's questionable yeah. about whether or not.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. But if we've missed anything, any achievement, we would love to shout it out that women accomplished this year. And we do have a little bit more for you. But first, we have one more quick break for a word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who hasn't heard names like Achilles or Odysseus, Cassandra, Medusa? But how much do you know about them from the ancient world? Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the podcast bringing the ancient sources to life. Greek myth and history is timeless, and unless you've been living under a rock, you have seen just how true that is today. But there is so much more to these characters and stories than what pop culture can do justice. I'm Liv Albert, the host of Let's Talk About Myths, Baby, and every week I bring you stories from the ancient world, both mythological and historical, to breathe new life into these thousands of years old stories. I'm also regularly joined by some of the most brilliant names in the field of archaeology and ancient history, authors of your favorite retellings from today, and everyone in between. Join me as I dive into the wild world of the ancient Greeks and their stories. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. So I thought we'd just sort of end this on a, you know, personal, what, where we have come from and where we hope we're going. So one thing I do think is kind of funny in this very peculiar year that we've just left behind are the very particular set of skills that you've picked up. So I wanted to talk about those. One Samantha is very familiar with. I call it the quick exit. I am the first damn person to leave the video chat. Right. I do not like that moment of like, where's the, like you're all trying to find the hang up button. No.
There's no wrap up. She's gone.
I'm just like, who the heck am I? And sometimes Samantha has to call me back and be like, wait, we weren't done.
We needed to do these two things. So like, we just need to wrap up a couple of things so we know I know what's going on.
So that's one. I got a pretty good social distancing dance. It feels like an art form where I'm keeping my 6 feet.
Yeah.
And I can tell you the shelf life of most vegetables.
You've been very good about that.
How long a vegetable lasts. I've got it.
But I don't trust you completely because you will extend those beyond what would be the recommendation of the health department.
Well, so I know both. So I can give you like the FDA says this, I say this, and then you can choose what you
want. Okay.
I can run a virtual watch party. I can do the bad video game dance moves. I can run a virtual D&D game, which is it's a whole thing. Or at least I've made it into a whole thing. Maybe it doesn't need to be, but oh my gosh.
I mean, I think you've gotten very talented. You've definitely become the hostess of all of our virtual things, I think. Mm-hmm. I trust you to get it together. My new talents have been how I've made my bedroom into my main room because it's cold now and I refuse to leave it. I'm getting really good at making soups again with the cold weather. I finally have like perfected in my own way my chili recipe because it's just been a constant, like, I just want something in one pot because I'm tired of doing the damn dishes. I want this done. I want it over and I want it for a few days.
Yeah. Oh.
And so that's been kind of a new skill that I'm like, I mean, I've always kind of cooked, but I've always hated dishes, but this level, it's a whole thing. And because I don't have a dishwasher, we've talked about this before, it's a pain in the ass. I hate it. Yeah. I hate it so much.
Have you like learned to cook more? Because I know a lot of people have, or is it just that you have to cook more?
No, like I have to cook more, but it's more like I have staples that I know I like and what it takes, so it's easy to do. Like, you know what I mean? So I've learned that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, and then also my gift game is on point now. So I feel like that's my new go-to because emojis aren't enough. And I don't have an iPhone where you can just like or love things, which, by the way, is annoying as hell to me because it sends you the same damn text. Yeah. And I'm like, why? but my gift game, I've gotten good. I've gotten good.
Yeah. I also think your gift game is, you know, very good for my themed gift specifically. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, but you're so easy because you have specific loves.
Passions.
Yeah, like people in my family, that they are not easy. Like I cannot, because they're so picky. They don't like sports. Mm-hmm. They don't drink. They don't do these things. And I'm like, I don't know what to get you.
Well, the Annie gift game is very good.
Oh, there it is.
Are there things that you've started doing during quarantine that like are here to stay?
I feel like our work from home situation, because it hasn't been accessible and fairly, not easy necessarily, but doable and less time consuming and less space to take up, because we only had 3-4 studios, sometimes just 2 studios that worked at a time, and you have hundreds of podcasts trying to record. So I feel like this is going to be a thing for us that's going to stay. I've gotten really comfortable in not saying yes. So I'm not necessarily saying no, but I'm not saying yes to anything until the very last minute, because I need room to be able to change my mind, because I've become a recluse, because I've always been an introvert. So it's not been a big thing, and I don't love huge crowds. So having the space to be able to figure out how to go to things and then what I'm going to enjoy and what I'm going to engage in, that's a new talent to me, I think. Something that, not new talent, that's something that I'm going to keep. This whole, like, I'm not trying to be rude and not give you an answer. It's just that I've realized that I don't have to commit to something if I don't want to do it, as well as the fact that sometimes I just don't know how I'm going to feel. And it's okay to gauge for that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? For sure.
And because I also want to be a person of my word, I don't want to commit to something that I'm, and then later back out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah. I mean, definitely the comfy clothes.
Yeah, for sure.
The comfy clothes. And I'm going to try to, like, you know, probably write less fan fiction, but things like that that have been a real comfort to me that before I would never... I would have felt guilty to engage in, because I've always felt like I had to be doing something, like, out with people, or in my mind, accomplishing something. I think that's probably going to stay. I think this sort of lower key, like, meh, attitude. I don't know, like, if it's going to be to the level it is right now, but I think that's going to stay a little bit. Like, eh. So I'll just wear pajamas outside. I don't know. That's fine. Why bother? So I also want to talk about, like, now that there are vaccines, there is an end in sight, what we're looking forward to post-pandemic. So for me, the number one thing, well, one of the number one things is probably everybody's number one. Well, no, I wish it was everybody's number one thing, but going outside and thinking I might not kill someone.
Right.
I'm excited about going outside and not being afraid that I could lead to someone's death. I'm very excited about not having to plan, like, groceries for 2 weeks. And I can't just go to the grocery store, you know? Like, I have to be like, okay, what's my exit strategy? Yeah, exactly. I got to get in and out in less than 10 minutes. Like, this whole thing. Like, I wake up at 6 a.m. days, I go to the grocery store. And then right now I'm carrying them,
which is the whole thing.
It's been a disaster, everybody. but I've succeeded. Well, succeeded. I've managed.
Yes, yeah, there you go.
Ish.
You've maintained.
Yes. I'm very excited about traveling. Yeah. Running. Hopefully overall less stress and pain, because I think a lot of us probably can relate to this, but just for me, like, I do exercise during the day, but not nearly as much as I was. And I pretty much spend, like, all day in my office chair, on the couch. I have a standing desk now, or in bed. And my body is not happy about it.
Right.
So I'm excited about that. And maybe one day no more COVID dreams. Because I have a lot of nightmares about COVID.
Yeah.
I have a lot.
Yeah. I don't know. I think we're always going to be remembering. This is going to be our, like, depression era. Where, like, we have these new habits now. And so it's going to just remain. And then when we're old and young kids are like, why did you do this? Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
That's going to be us. Traveling, man. I miss just going somewhere. I will say, though, again, I am a homebody. So as much as I want to go somewhere, I never want to go long.
Right.
But just being able to, like, you know, you and I are talking about the fact that we were supposed to go to Portugal. Like, my 40th birthday happened and I wanted to be out of the country. Like, all of these things that we missed out on. Sitting on patios for a drink with my friends, one of my favorite things to do. And not that we can't do that now, but it's definitely a different caution. Like, you can't be near each other. You have to make sure that all of these are safe precautions that are being followed by everyone, you know? And oftentimes it's not. Not everyone is on the same lines as you when it comes to what you think is safe. I miss having, like, little dinners and get-togethers at my house. I used to have those at least once a month, large cheese parties, essentially, where I come and buy, like, $500 worth of cheese and wines and beg people to be my friends.
I do too.
Because I miss not having to leave but having my friends there. Like, that's something that I've always loved to do, and being hosting things. As stressful as it is, I miss getting my friends together and just you know, hanging.
Yeah, I mean, so I think overall,
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, I feel like overall, the like not having to overthink everything mm-hmm. of like, I can't just go do something.
Mm-hmm.
And then like when I think about quarantine, what there are some things I will miss, and like fan fiction is one, and it's all an excuse not to go anywhere. And that is more of a comment on my inability to say no, which I was struggling with before this, which right. was why my New Year's resolution last year was stay in more, which is, yes, hilarious. and just wearing PJs, things like that, I've enjoyed.
right. Yeah, I'm going to miss not, like the opposite of like having a reason not to hang with people. So like I have a ready excuse, right? Yeah. And then maybe a ready reason not to see my family. and that sounds so bad, but because of the rockiness of this year and then the differences of opinions and just the overall argument, it's been really uncomfortable and very stressful to the point that I still have dreams about that. That's part of my nightmares.
Yeah.
And the guilt of that, you know, I'm going to miss not having a ready excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and as we go into this new year, there's some things that we're hoping for. My hopes are really low, to be honest. I feel really burned from 2020. I feel really burned. I hope we get a vaccine. I hope that rolls out smoothly and people are able to get it. I hope I never have to think about Trump's tweets again. I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, no.
But it would be nice. It would be very, very nice. I hope I never have to think about him again.
Mm.
And then I can slowly ease into being with people again, just being around people. I hope that we, as a society, continue to have these conversations about systemic racism and climate change, all these things that rose to the forefront in this very tumultuous year. More work and from home and flexible schedule options for all. I hope that does stay in place. I hope we, like, learn lessons from this year. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I hope it's not like, okay, back to normal and we forget all
right.
of this.
Right. Like, the optimist would be, please, let's learn from this year and grow with
yeah.
it. The pessimist in me is it's a continue uphill battle, and
yeah.
the norm where we ignore things is coming back,
yeah.
and that's going to be problematic. But some of the things that we have learned is with the pandemic, internet and social media communities have grown, and I think that's something that's going to change. That's something that's going to continue on. So, mm-hmm. like one of the reasons I think conspiracy theories have grown so huge is because people are at home and able to pay attention to those and subscribe mm-hmm. and obsess over those. For me, like I have been obsessed over my phone constantly to the point that I'm like, I have to do better and stop mm-hmm. looking at these tweets because it is a constant thing, and because you're sitting at home, why not? And I think that's going to be something that we have to look at, and it's being questioned. We're seeing organizations like Bridget's organization, Ultraviolet, calling out social media to do a better job
right.
in monitoring these types of groups. But we're mm-hmm. also seeing the growth of their own, such as Parler and OAN and all of that.
Yeah.
So it's building up that conspiracy theory communities as well. So I think that's something that we're going to have to look at and catch up on. But if we are out and about, maybe some people will pay attention a little less. I'm really excited that we're going to have less news about the indecency and the stupidity of some of the things that was happening in this administration. I'm really mm-hmm. excited to hear less of that. And just going back to the normal of, oh my God, he's wearing brown pants, I'm assuming is going to be the conversation. I missed that. So I'm excited to see that happen. I'm hoping to see that we start holding people a little more accountable. That I think that's a good thing. The call-ins, I think, on social media are good things. Not necessarily cancel culture, but the call-ins and trying to teach people and to correct people. And I think that's still okay. And we need to look at. So I hope that still continues. Man, I hope we still pay attention as we have been paying attention today. Like, that's what I hope for.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, 2020, here's to 2021. I keep doing that.
Yeah.
2021, here's to paying attention. We hope that you listeners have had a safe and hopefully happy New Year's. We would love to hear from you. what is like your end year in review of 2020, what you're hoping for 2021, what are your predictions. You can email us. Our email is stuffmediamomstuff@iheartmedia.com. You can also find us on Twitter at @MomStuffPodcast or on Instagram at @StuffMomNeverToldYou. Thanks as always to our super producer, Andrew Howard.
Oh, thanks, Andrew.
And thanks to you for listening. Stuff I Never Told You is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.